Today, we are in the final week of the series we've been in throughout the month of November entitled, It's Not About the Money, as we have been wrestling with this whole topic of money and stuff and materialism and all that kind of stuff. If you missed last week, we dealt with a topic that some people get a little uneasy about, and the topic of tithing. And a number of you have actually reached out how that was helpful to you in understanding and what it really means and what it's about. And so I would encourage you, if you missed it, go back, watch, listen to that message. I think it was a helpful message for many of you. But this morning, we're going to dive back into this series. How many know, as a parent, you have lots of roles with your children, right? Every parent has a lot of different roles. You know, parents, you know, serve as housekeepers and cooks and tutors and coaches or referees, all those different things. In my house, you might not know this, but I'm a barber in our house. I cut my boys' hair. I've been done it their whole lives. This is just my thing, you know? One day I will shave my own head off when this hair gets a little more depleted. But I have those roles. But one of the primary roles that I have and we have as parents is that as reminders. As a parent, you're a reminder. You're constantly reminding your children things that they maybe don't recognize. You know, reminding them, you know, you gotta study, you gotta bathe, you gotta brush your teeth, you gotta wash your hands, do all that kind of stuff. Don't pick your nose in public, all those kind of things. You gotta remind your kids. And it isn't because they're rebellious always. It's just that in the hustle and bustle of life, sometimes they forget to do the little things. My role as a pastor, I have a lot of roles as a pastor, but one of my roles is that as reminder for the congregation. Because in the hustle and bustle of life, sometimes we as believers, we forget some of the simple things. We get in the routines of life and we forget about them. You know, I hope to bring you deep things on occasion, but more often than not, if you're a mature follower, I'm here to remind you of the truth and bring us back to the truth. And that's what today's message is gonna be. We're actually gonna look at probably one of the most quoted verses in the entire Bible, but it's a verse that is misunderstood by most people. And I think God's gonna remind us of something that's gonna help us today, all right? If you got your Bibles, would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 10. So we're gonna look at a little bit of a passage here this morning. I'm gonna invite you to stand with me across the room as we're gonna read our text here today. Just four verses we're gonna look at. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 10. And if you are a guest, we just stand as a way of honoring God's word together. It says this. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. This is a church that he loved. He had a close relationship with this church. He says this, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, because through your word, you want to teach us, you want us to reveal who you are, but you also want to reveal how we need to think. And so God, I pray today that you would bring a shift to our mindset in a culture that is constantly trying to lead us astray, constantly trying to feed us a lie. God, I pray that we would hear your truth today. And God, it would shape the way that we live and it would shape the way that we endure, even when life isn't easy. We pray that in the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. You can be seated. How many of you have ever memorized or you've heard Philippians 4:13 before? Raise your hand, okay? It's a verse a lot of us know. What does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the older translation. I'm sure many of you have probably heard this version before. It's one of the most quoted verses, probably one of the most well-known verses in all the Bible. There's lots of athletes that use this verse. A lot of athletes will put Philippians 4:13 in their bios on their social medias. How many ever heard of Steph Curry? I mean, you know who Steph Curry is? Probably the greatest shooter ever in the history of the NBA. Amazing, amazing athlete. This is like his verse. He's made this verse. He would take his shoes and he writes, I can do all things on his shoe. He would do that for years. And then he got his own signature shoe and they actually like put that imprinted on his shoe. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, which is great. That's great that he's using a verse. The problem is this verse oftentimes gets used as like, I'm gonna dominate. I can do all things. Look how great I am. I'm amazing. That's how this verse gets used. And that's not really what this verse is about, right? Like, it's a nice idea, but this verse is totally out of context when you do that. When you look at the context, this verse is about one thing, contentment. That's what this verse is about. It's about contentment. It's about the ability to move on and endure through challenging things. I don't think Steph Curry would get as excited about the actual content of this verse, but this is the theme that I want to close our series with. And I think it's fitting that we've just came through Thanksgiving. As Jordan was just talking about, it's so easy for us to just kind of go through the motions and miss it. But I think this is an important thing for us to think about at this time, because this whole idea of contentment, it's really, really hard in the world that we live in. It's difficult. Like, when it comes to money, when it comes to stuff, I've been talking about it throughout this whole series. Everything about our culture is trying to make you discontented. Everything you are fed is you don't have enough, you need more, you shouldn't be satisfied with what you've got. You've got last year's model? No, you should get this year's model of whatever it is you have. Like, why do they have things come out every single year? Honestly, the iPhone doesn't get that more exciting every year. But they want you to feel like, I don't have the newest, so I gotta get another one. They wanna make you discontented. And we buy into that, we eat that up. We're constantly in that place, but it's more than just the money and the stuff, because think about the world around us. Nobody's content in the world around us. People are filled with worry, anxiety, fear, anger is rampant in our culture. Dissatisfaction, frustration, disappointment is normal in our world. You can feel it in people. Honestly, you can see it in people. There's something that Amber and I love doing when we walk around, whether we're in public, we're at the mall, we're anywhere. Like, both of us love smiling at people, like strangers smiling and even saying hello to strangers. Does anybody else do that? Anybody else try to do that? Okay, we're not the only weirdos. That's great. I'm sure there's people that think we're strange because we're in public and I'll be just like, I'll just smile. Hey, well, I'm just like, welcome. Because I'm like, can we be happy? But honestly, when I smile at strangers, a lot of time they look at me like, you know. I'm like, can you smile? Are you unhappy? Like, is life that awful that you can't just enjoy a smile for a second, you know? But honestly, think about the world that we live in. Most people are jaded. They're on edge. They're not have this sense of just peace in their heart. There's a sense of things aren't right. I don't like it. Why are you smiling at me? You must want something from me, you know? This is the world that we live in. Maybe some of you can relate to the feeling of discontentedness right now. Maybe some of you right now, you're walking through something hard. You're frustrated with something going on in your life. I don't know what it is. I think we can all at times be in that place. Every one of us. Even right now, you're in a place of joy. You're like, I figured out there's gonna be a moment where you walk through something hard and you're like, God, is this, where am I at? There's a story that I read that I just love. There's a tale of a king who suffered from a painful ailment. His counselors advised him that there was only one cure for the ailment. What you need to do is you got to find a contented man, get his shirt, and wear it night and day. And if you do that, you're going to have your ailment taken care of. And so the king sent his messengers out to find this man who would be contented. And they went everywhere to find this man, get his shirt, and bring it back to him so that he could be all well. After months of searching the kingdom, they returned empty-handed. Did you find the contented man in all of my kingdom? Is what the king asked. And they replied, yes, O king, we found only one in the entire kingdom that was content. Then why didn't you bring back his shirt? They said, master, the man had no shirt. But I think about it, like, how do you have that kind of a contentment? That even when you don't have, there can still be a peace in your heart. There still can be a joy, like a thing that can endure in that, right? So I want to look at this passage real quick. You know, this is what Paul is speaking to here in Philippians. You look at verse number 10. I'm just going to go briefly through this text, and then I'm excited to have a story shared with you this morning. He says this. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not going to dig into all the, if you read the entire letter, you're going to understand exactly what Paul's talking about here. But what I want to start with is the opening phrase, because this is a phrase that Paul uses regularly in his letters. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. You'll see this all the time in Paul's writing. There's this sense of rejoicing, this sense of gratitude, this sense of thanksgiving that he's constantly mustering up. Like he's holding on to this. He's like saying, yes, I rejoice. I'm grateful for this. I'm thankful for this. But it isn't just generic. He's never just thankful or grateful just for circumstances. It's always in the Lord. He's always connecting his gratitude and his gratefulness to the Lord. And you'll see it over and over and over throughout scripture, all right? It goes on in verse number 11. It says this, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Somebody needs to write this one down today, okay? Contentment is a learned behavior. Contentment is a learned behavior. It's not natural. Right? It's not what we are all just normal. That's normal. I'm going to be content. That's so easy. No, we mature into contentment. It is something we have to learn. Think about babies and toddlers. Okay. Babies and toddlers, they are only content when everything is perfect. Okay. Because the moment something is off, like they're hungry, they're tired, they're this, they're that, whatever. As soon as that happened, you're going to hear about it, right? You're going to know they ain't content. Okay. And we laugh at the babies and the toddlers like, oh yeah, they're so ridiculous. But so many of us act the same way. Like we're just like the babies and the toddlers. We're content as long as everything's right. As long as everything's the way I want it to be, then I can be content. But as soon as I'm not happy, you're gonna hear about it, right? Most of us behave this way. Like we haven't matured to a deeper level. And Paul's saying, this is a learned behavior. You gotta mature into this whole idea of contentment. We go on in verse number 12, the beginning of it. It says this, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. For some of us, let's just be honest. Some of you out there, some of us, life has been charmed. We've lived a charmed life. I'll say this, up until I was probably the age 25, 26, 27, I felt like I had lived a relatively charmed life. I hadn't really had any significant issues in my life. And then Amber and I lose our house in a fire. And then I get diagnosed with a disease. And then Amber and I have some seriously difficult pregnancies and we have a bunch of challenges that we've walked through and we've seen it. And now we've lived some life and it's like, okay, like I've been through some stuff now. But some of you, you're like, man, I've lived a pretty charmed life. That's awesome for you. But I know there's others of you who, like us, you've walked through some hard stuff. You've had some seasons that are difficult. Maybe right now you're in one of those seasons that's difficult. And for me, I have a hard time listening to other people talk who haven't been through stuff. Like, don't tell me about what it's like to go through hard stuff if you haven't been through hard stuff, you know? But here's the thing, Paul can speak from experience here. So pastors that talks about this, you want to like, well, the guy who's writing this, who's being content in every, what do you mean by this? Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians. Pull this passage up. He says, this is Paul describing his own life. He said, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. That's to the point of death. Right? 3 times I have been beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false believers. It goes on and says, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. This is a guy who's been through stuff. So when we hear him talk about this, this is not theory to him. This is experience to him, okay? And so we can trust these words. He has learned this. And it goes on in verse 12. It says this, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I'm gonna say this, what's the secret? He's got this secret. That's the language. It actually means this. I have this revelation, this understanding. And here's what you have to understand. If you want to be content in any and every circumstance, then your contentedness can't be grounded in your circumstance. I'm gonna say it again. If you want to be content in any and every circumstance, then your contentedness can't be grounded in your circumstance. Okay? And I think we all know this, like, yes, obviously, Greg, you're so brilliant here this morning. But we act like this isn't true, right? Because some of us here today, we wish that everything in our lives would just clear up and be perfect, right? I wish this whole thing, everything would go away. Everything in my life would just be easy and simple and all those things. Then life would be easy. Then we'd have more joy. Then we could be content. You ever been in a season where things were good in your life and you're like, can we just hit pause right now? Okay. I don't want anything to change right now because I want it to stay right like it is. I don't want anything else to change right now. I think we can all face that, but we're all smart enough to know that we can't do that. Like life doesn't work like that. Things change. Life happens. You know, there are always going to be new problems in your life and in mine. You're going to face financial problems or physical problems or relational problems or emotional problems. You're going to have problems at work. You're going to have problems at home. Other people will bring you their problems. Like they're just problems all over the place. And even for the people, and some of you are here today, you're like, man, you know what, Greg? I got my life under control, right? I plan, I organize, I'm disciplined. Like I got all this stuff. You can do all those things and you can still walk through hard things. Other people's poor decisions can negatively impact your life, and things you have no control over could happen in your life. And this is what leads us to verse number 13. It says this, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I actually like the NIV's new translation of this. I think helps us. It connects this to the text better, to have a better understanding. This is the newest translation of that. I can do all this. I can do all things. I can endure. I can withstand. I can be content in all things. How? Through him who gives me strength. See, there is something about Paul's connection to Christ that enabled him to be content. Jesus talked about this a lot, right? He talked about this type of connection in John chapter 15. In John 15, he talks about the vine. He's like, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Just remain in me. Remain in my love. Stay connected to me. Because if you'll stay connected to me, I'll fill you. I'll sustain you. Like learn that. Learn what that looks like to stay in me. That even when all hell is breaking loose in your life, you can still be rooted in that. There can be a sense of firmness and strength because you're rooted in the right thing. You're not rooted in your circumstances that shift and change, but rooted in me. Honestly, this is the idea that we see Paul talking about. There's something about his faith that was allowing him to stay rooted. And I would say that there are some of you here, some of you who are mature in your faith, who you've been through some stuff with the Lord as well. And you've learned contentment through tears, through pain. You've learned what that looks like. And it's possible not everyone in this room has gotten to that place yet. That's part of the journey of faith. My guess is there's some of you in the year right now when I'd say, yeah, this seems like a flowery idea. Like I'm gonna stay content in hard circumstances. That seems crazy to me. Paul gives us an action step that I wanna close here with my message portion. Paul gives us an action step a few verses earlier that can help us grow. What is this contentedness? What does this connection look like? If you got your Bibles, you can look a few verses ahead into verse number 4. But if you don't, I'm gonna put it on the screen. He starts verse 4 by saying this, rejoice in the Lord. Again, in the Lord, always. I will say it again, rejoice. It's a command. This isn't like a suggestion. In every circumstance, you're like, when I'm really in a tough spot, I'm supposed to rejoice? That makes no sense at all, right? Some of you right now, you're like, there's nothing in my soul that wants to rejoice. I get that. He's commanding this to, like, rejoice in every circumstance. And it seems weird to us. But what do I say around here regularly? I say this, God doesn't command things that aren't inherently good for us. Okay, so he wouldn't tell you to do this in horrible situations if it isn't inherently good for you. Think about the Ten Commandments. A lot of times we think about the Ten Commandments like, these are rules and I can't do things. No, guess what? When you covet your neighbor's stuff, you're gonna be discontented and your life is gonna be worse. Okay? Guess what? When you steal from other people, your relationships get destroyed and society breaks down. Okay? Guess what? When you commit adultery, that's toxic, the most painful pain you could possibly feel on earth. And God's saying, I don't want that for you. I want good for you. And so when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, even in the hard things, it's because it's good for you. It does something for you, right? And why is it? Because when our circumstances are shifting, when life is shifting, when everything else is unstable, he is the one who remains stable. He is the one who is still firm. And when we can get our attention to him and say, God, I might not rejoice in what I'm experiencing, but I can rejoice in who you are, that you are one that I can still run to no matter what I'm facing in my life. You are the one constant, and I choose thanksgiving for who you are. I choose gratitude for the fact that I can still depend on you. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians. He says this. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. This is the key to faith. You got to recognize sometimes all the outward stuff can be falling apart, but God can still be doing something inside. For our light and momentary troubles, and I'm going to stop there because some of you, when you hear that, you're like, you don't know. I don't call the pain I'm walking through light and momentary. I get that. I've had moments when that feels like a hard text to read, okay? But in the fullness of eternity, there will be a day. You might not be today. There will be a day when you will recognize that the pain you're facing today is a light and momentary trouble. And we have to be reminded of that truth sometimes. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want to get to our big so what here this morning. There's two parts to our big so what this morning. First part is this. Self-centered ingratitude is the fuel for discontentment. If you want to be dissatisfied, discontented in your life, just constantly think about you and be ungrateful for what you don't have. Just reality. You don't even have to be a follower of Christ for this to be true. Like, this is true. Okay? But the second part is this. I'll put up this second part. God-centered gratitude is the fuel for contentment. If you want to learn what it is to be content in every circumstance, grow a gratitude for who God is, that he is there for you, he is there to sustain you. The more we connect our hearts to Christ, the more he begins to build this contentment. And even it's actually the hard times in your life when it grows the most. It doesn't grow in the easy stuff, it grows in the hard stuff. Right? This morning, I wanna share a bit of a story here. I'm gonna invite somebody up to help me this morning. Can you give it up for Kristen Daniels as she's gonna come share? For those that don't know Kristen is on our staff here at Zoe, been on our team the last probably 4 years or so. I just would love to shout her out. Many of you, if you don't see her on the stage and you're like, I don't know who she is, I don't interact with her. Kristen is on our lead team here at Zoe. She's the operations director as well as care ministry. And just does an amazing job helping lead this church. There is so much of this church that is because of things that she leans into and makes happen. So can we just honor her for a moment? And she hates me thoroughly for making that moment right there, because it's the last thing she wants. But I've watched her over the last several years, and particularly in this last year. There's things that probably she does a great job not sharing with everybody and walking through. And I just want you to share, over the last several years, but specifically this last year, you've walked through some things. And why don't you just share a little bit of that?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Man, this is really vulnerable for me, because I will tell you something I love is to be excellent. I love to perform well. I take a lot of pride in just showing up and giving my all. But the last year and a half specifically, I've been dealing with some health issues. And in the midst of that, I've been having a lot of chronic pain and tremors and weakness in certain parts of my body. And right before I came up here, I got a bloody nose, because like there's certain things like inside my nose, I have open wounds, and in my mouth, and it's just crazy. I've been dealing with really, really intense chronic pain, and I haven't been given really any answers as to why I've been dealing with that this past year.
Yeah. And so I've watched you, because I know, you know, obviously working with Kristen the last 4 years, I know you're one who wants to work hard. You're going to show up and give it all. And there's definitely been days when you've showed up and you can give 100% of about 20%, because physically, I've watched you push through when it's really, really hard. And I've walked into her office at times when she's in tears because of pain and because of challenges. And And I've watched you persevere through that. And so what I've appreciated is watching you, rather than growing bitter and all that, you've allowed that to be part of the journey of growing. And so what does that look like? You know, what are some of the things that maybe God's been teaching you through this past year?
Yeah, so I would say this last year, I've felt an invite from the Lord. I felt him invite me in to what does it look like to actually rely on him and have full reliance. Because if you're dealing with pain on a regular basis, obviously it's not easy to get out of bed and say, I'm gonna go to church and serve people. Like, well, how can I not make it about me today? And a couple months ago, I was reading in Psalm 26:3, and David was talking and he says, my reliance has been on your faithfulness. And I felt like the Lord was just giving me an invite, like, I'll invite you to rely on my faithfulness. I will give you what you need every day if you just say yes. And I'm not gonna pretend like every day I'm like, oh man, this is so amazing. But there's so much scripture, especially in the Psalms, that encourage me, like, satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love. Let me sing for joy. I don't have to create joy for myself. When I invite the Holy Spirit into my mind and into my heart, the Holy Spirit gives me joy. I don't have that in me. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of days I just don't feel happy. Like, I have two children, I have a husband, and I don't love coming home and just, like, disappointing everybody. Like, I just gave it all away for the last 8 hours. I have nothing here. But I feel like every single time the Lord is like, I'll renew your mind. I'll renew your spirit. Like, I'll give you strength for what you need. And the great thing about the Lord is that it is always an invite. We can say no. Like, if you don't want to be content, you don't have to be. There's no reason I should be content. But I'll tell you, in the last year, man, the depth that I have with the Lord, like, that I can go to him, and I'm going to him with confidence that he's going to give peace in return. And sometimes that's it. Sometimes it's extreme pain, and it's not a great attitude, but it's peace. And it's just like, what more could I want than to be with you? And if you don't notice me up in the front row sobbing every week, I'm going to tell you why that is. It's because sometimes all I have to bring to the table is tears. Man, Lord, I just don't have anything else to give you. But this is my sacrifice, is just that to be with you, there's no place I'd rather be than to be with you. And so this year, while it's been really, really challenging, it's not over. It's not over. And it's hard to manage other people's disappointment that I'm not healed. But I'm like, if this is it, and this is what draws me to dependency on you, then okay. Satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love. Give me joy.
Yeah, so good. So good. Yeah, because I think a lot of times in church world, we like to share the testimonies after the bow has been tied and everything's better and great, life's good. And see, follow Jesus and everything will be perfect. Guess what? She's following the Lord and she hasn't experienced a healing in her body. I'm in the same place with Crohn's. But God, what could you teach us? How could we grow in this? How could you mature us? How could we grow up, you know, because all of us are immature. We all are, you know, God, how could we grow up in a new way and depend on you in a new way? I don't know what that looks like, but continue. So obviously, you know, there's a lot of people in this room right now who are walking through something tough, who are in the same place that you are. And so if you could encourage them with one word or two words, you know, what would you encourage them with here this morning?
I would say approach the Lord confidently. Like, have faith when you're going to him. But that's Hebrews 4:16. It talks about going to his throne of grace with confidence. And so that's what I try to do. Like, I'm confident that what you're going to bring me in return is the peace that I need. And I didn't say this before, but I just want to say, in this process, really what I realized is also, like, how much I idolized being understood and being seen. And what a great invite from the Lord to just shut off my self-absorption. Because I just would have never been like, oh, I have pride issues, or like, I really make things about me. And then when my body stopped doing what I wanted it to do, I was like, red alert, I'm so selfish. But in the process, like, maybe he hasn't healed my body physically, but he's been really gracious to heal me of idolizing, understanding, and being self-absorbed. And that's a huge gift.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Thanks, Kristen. You give it up for Kristen. Thanks for sharing. You know, thanks for sharing, Kristen. I think it's helpful to, sometimes we hear a message, it's really helpful to get skin on that story, you know, and that message. God, what do you want to do? This past Thursday, I had the privilege to spend some time with precious lady Gwen, who's a part of our church. I'm going to give a shout out to Gwen. Hi, Gwen. saying online. Gwen has been a part of our church the last several years, but hasn't been able to attend in person. Probably been about a year now. She's been battling cancer and just in a tough place, you know. And I look across this room and I know there are those in the room right now that are battling cancer right now. There are those of you who have loved ones that are battling cancer or something else going on. But I walked in the room with Gwen and she is struggling. She's in the hospital right now and she was struggling physically and, you know, hooked up to all the stuff. She's in a lot of pain right now, just really struggling. They couldn't, even while I was there, they were trying to get her some more medication. But despite all the other stuff, her eyes still had joy. It was crazy. I told, after she shared with me for a few moments, I said, Gwen, I wish I could just wheel you up on the stage on Sunday. Because I think that would be a message for all of us. Because she sits and talks to me and she's just like, Greg, you know, I could see her in pain. And at one point she's like, but I'm not letting the enemy rob me of my joy. I wake up every morning and I just have thanksgiving in my heart. God, thank you that there's breath in my lung this morning. Thank you that you woke me up today. Thank you that I can have a confidence in you, that you're my foundation today. She just is like, she's like saying it while I'm sitting there and I'm like getting all fired up, you know. But it's coming from a real place. She's not manufacturing. This is a real place. And that's learning contentment in every circumstance. Doesn't come through the easy stuff. Doesn't. And some of us, when the hard stuff comes, we want to throw our hands up and we're like, forget this, right? Trust me, there's plenty of times I just want to throw them out. I want to be done. Like, I don't want this, Lord. But God, could we pause long enough to say, God, is there something you want to grow in me in this season? Could you teach me something even in this hard, Lord? God, could you grow a deeper contentment, a deeper connection to you that maybe I haven't experienced in the past? It doesn't mean it's easy, but it is something that God wants to do for us. He wouldn't command us rejoice in the Lord always if it isn't gonna be good for us. So my prayer this morning is, God, would you do something in our heart? Would you do something new in us? I wanna pray just over us for a moment. And then we're gonna close our time together this morning, taking communion together as we express our gratitude to the Lord. God, I thank you so much that you meet us where we're at. Some of us today are in a place that's struggling. Some of us right now, we're even struggling hearing these words. Because we can get there in our minds, but we can't really get there in our feelings right now. God, I pray that you would be patient with us. You say that you are. You've been patient in the past. Would you still be patient with us? Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us? Would you help us to see what this looks like for us, Lord? Would you grow us in you in a deeper way, God? God, for those that are enduring challenging circumstances right now, Lord, I pray that you would meet them right where they're at. God, would you give bodies strength right now? God, would you give spirits strength right now? Those that feel emotionally overwhelmed right now, God, would you just meet them and bring peace right now, God? Would you do the stuff that we can't do, Lord? We trust you, God. We entrust ourselves to you right now. Now, even as we wrap up this series, I pray even this time when it's about money and stuff and buy more things and all those things, God, would you teach us contentment? God, that we wouldn't operate like the world does, constantly needing the more that ultimately leaves us dry and unfulfilled. God, would we be those who pursue you, that we look to you? Oh, the gifts might be a nice extra, but God, our hope is grounded in you. Our life and sustenance come from you, Lord. You're the vine, we're the branches. We just want to remain in you. Help us to learn that, God, we pray. Jesus' name. Amen.